This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so we got stuff to get into. You traveled all over the place. You saw Miami, Florida State.
I did. I didn't go there, but I saw the game. Yeah. All right. Saw Miami, Florida State. Saw it snow in Cartersville, Georgia.
I saw the pictures. Clifford doing all right?
Yeah, he wasn't a big fan of the snow.
I didn't figure it as much.
Yeah, cats kind of just say, man, you know, cats are not really interested.
And, of course, you were in Little John last night.
Yeah, big win for Notre Dame. That's four straight and five out of six now for Mike Bray. And I got to be honest, kind of what I said last week, I feel a little fortuitous in my comments. Notre Dame starts shooting it well. Notre Dame's going to give some people some problems, I think, Pac.
All right, and we have all these games to go through, but we have to start with another classic. I mean, what else can you say about Duke and North Carolina when they get together?
Here's the thing, and I had somebody ask me about this yesterday at the ball game, and I'll add this. People say, well, why do we talk so much about Duke and Carolina? And I said, the reason we talk a lot about Duke and Carolina is because what happened. And think about how often it's like that compared to, you know, a 20-point game or a 14-point game or whatever the case may be. Because it delivers, and it delivers consistently. And here recently, we've had a sequence of them. And Malcolm Huckabee asked me last night about it. He said, is that a top 10 of the Duke-Carolina game? And I went, the list is loaded now. I mean, top 10 Duke Carolina games are epic. And that one probably is on the list somewhere. But there are a lot of them on the list. And a lot of them have been played recently on the list, Mark. And that was one. I mean, it just absolutely gets you to the edge of the seat and holds you for 2.5 hours. Or in the case of that one the other night, almost three.
Here's the other thing.
Okay.
And we emphasized this last week. On paper, going into the game, Duke looked like an easy win. Not that anything's ever easy in this series, but on paper, based on the eye test, what you've watched, breakdown of the games, injuries, the whole routine, on paper, it just looked like, well, this really has a chance not to be a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
We warned everybody
yep.
that North Carolina would probably play with their hair on fire, and this is what happens in this series. When you think there's one team that's really markedly better than the other,
right.
You have an absolute knockdown, drag-out showdown. Let's be honest. In this game, Saturday night, North Carolina was the better team. North mm-hmm. Carolina played a better basketball game than Duke. Now, I know if you're a Duke fan, you're screaming at me, scoreboard, Pack, we won the game. Hey, I got that.
Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear. But North Carolina, in my opinion, for 98% of the game, outplayed Duke. Right?
Yeah. I mean, look, you had great individual performances. You had compelling storylines in the game, but you also had moments, and some of the moments were frustrating moments for either school. Other moments were like breakthrough moments for either school. And then you had the wild and the woolly, as Lynn Berman used to call it, right? I mean, it's just unbelievable the stuff that goes on.
Guys start making plays who haven't made plays all year. Now, Trey Jones, great. Cole Anthony, terrific. I mean, stars were stars in this game. Vernon Carey, while he played, was doing his thing before fouling out. But you had other guys step up and make plays.
Exactly.
Especially on the light blue side of this.
Christian Keeling.
Was terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. And I'm sure that Roy Williams, when he went to bed, assuming he's been to bed, sat back and, as he kind of said in the post game, you know, really proud of how hard his guys played.
Right.
But in the end, man, you got to close. And when you miss 17 free throws, and I know people are going to scream about the call and all that, so I get it. We've done this a long time. You get all these. But when you miss 17 free throws in a tight game and you're the dog, it will normally come back to haunt you.
Yep.
And guess what? It did for North Carolina.
Absolutely. I think that. And, you know, the funny thing is we've talked about free throw shooting with Carolina more often than probably you and I both expected on this show. But it's gotten to a point where it's not a very good number, and ultimately it's a characteristic of this team now. Doesn't mean that one night they won't go 24 for 26. But the other night, 21 of 38, doesn't win the game. And, you know, you feel for those guys because in a game like Saturday night, free throws are going to make a difference. And then you get the wild and the woolly from, like, deflections, tap outs, caroms off the front of the rim, all sorts of things that go on in that. And, yeah, I know everybody wants to go back to, you know, whistles in the game. This series is punctuated by calls that one school or the other doesn't like. I mean, it happens. The same has happened for Carolina and Durham, has happened for Duke and Chapel Hill and things like that. That's the fabric of the rivalry. That happens. And so, but it was just a classic game in terms of just the drama. And let's be honest, college basketball doesn't give us many of these, right?
Well, you know, this year in particular, college basketball, I think, has given you close games.
But this
was North Carolina and Duke.
Right.
Right. Again.
Sure.
And it's, you know, if you get one of these in a series, you're like, oh, my God, do you remember the 2020 game between A and B? As you pointed out, there have been dozens, let me emphasize, dozens of games like this, and you just went, wow. If you were not entertained, you just got to find another sport to watch.
Well, and think of it like this. We're on the anniversary of the Austin Rivers shot the other night. We're the same week as the Jeff Capel shot. And then you get to this craziness.
Austin Rivers to the day.
Austin Rivers to the day, Jeff Capel to the week of the 95 game. I mean, it's just that kind of series. And what we need to do is cherish and embrace the fact, and I think Coach K said it last week when he visited with us, that these are two of the best programs in college basketball history. They've got tradition. And he said some stuff after the game, and I retweeted it yesterday. That compelling statement that he made after the game about Coach Smith and what Coach Smith meant to him and what Coach Smith did to him to drive the rivalry and be that good, that's what this is all about now.
Yep.
And I don't know how much longer we're going to have it with the chapters being written like they're being written right now, but some point we're going to look back down the road and go, man, was that some kind of series? For like 25, 30 years, did that thing deliver? Think about it. All of them are good. And some are great. And some are classics. And Saturday night, yes, Duke won the game if you're a Carolina fan. That's a classic. Just like Carolina's won some games that have been classics. That's why it's great.
If you had not watched any college basketball this season, and you said, hey, I'm going to give you a treat. You're going to get a chance to watch the Duke-North Carolina game. One team's ranked in the top 10. The other team's sub 500.
Mm-hmm.
Now, grab his popcorn, come sit here on the couch, we're going to watch the game. If that person had not watched any college hoops, they would have been 100% wrong with the team that was ranked in the top 10 and the team that was sub 500. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this game awesome. Because traditionally, both of these programs are top 5, top 10, you know, great players, McDonald's All-Americas, first teamers, guys you're going to see on the next level. But it really doesn't matter, Wes, what they have. Yeah. Because when they play each other, they take their game to another level. And North Carolina, I thought, played their best game of the year.
Yeah.
And I know they missed 17 free throws, and North Carolina fans are still sick. I get all that stuff. But in terms of what you have seen them do this year,
right,
and without Robinson, that was by far their best effort of the year, which makes you wonder, hey, can they deliver that on a consistent basis? Probably not. Because they took it to they reached down deep and took it to another level. And when you thought Duke was dead in the water, down 10 with two to go, you knew better, right? You
yep.
just knew, hey, there was going to be one more run. And the play that Trey Jones makes in terms of the ricochet off the rim, gets the carom, puts it in OT, was simply brilliant.
Yeah.
The design of the play, and you may say, hey, it was pure luck. You call it whatever you want. They had to have it. They pulled it off,
right,
and they took it to OT. That's what great players and teams do.
Yep. Let's hear from some of the principals in the ball game, and we'll start obviously with the head coaches and Mike Krzyzewski on Trey Jones.
We talk about it, but he made it not a good play. That was an amazing play. You know, that's one of those clinic things. You know, Luke, he was at another level tonight. I mean, we won because of that kid. And so I think anything he did tonight might work, you know. And he was so good at timeouts. You know, we're trying to get him to talk more, and in his positive talk, and we're going to win. We got this. This is our game. Count on me. And the kids responded to him. You know, it was a good. We've been talking about it, now. He earned it in combat, so to speak, on the battlefield. So,
talk about his leadership. We've said all along, if Trey Jones can be Duke's leader, they got a real chance to have a really special year because they got talented guys around him. I mean, they did that with Vernon Carey getting 18 in the first half and scoreless in the second half and ultimately fouling out.
You know, and Carey fouled out too. I mean, if you're North Carolina, you could not have scripted a better case scenario.
Right.
Carey's out. You have a double-digit lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's late.
Yeah.
Crowd was sensational, as you knew it would be.
Right.
All you got to do is make free throws.
That's it.
Just close the deal.
All right. There are two things about this game and the runoff from the game, and we'll touch on them in just a second. But first, here's Roy Williams, obviously deflated and very disappointed after the end on Saturday night.
If you want to go woe is me and be a little pansy or something, you know, that's your choice. If you want to be a tough competitor, and pansy doesn't mean anything except a guy that doesn't compete, so don't give me any of that stuff.
That right?
Okay? That's what pansy means. The guy's not a competitive guy. We're not going to be like
we're
that.
We're going to break, but just so you
and
know.
And if you want to go
issue.
Do that, and,
can't hear
go lay in a corner and get in a fetal position and call for your mama, you can. But if you want to be a competitor, you're going to try to bust your tail at practice tomorrow and bust your tail at practice on Monday and try to go on the road and see if you can play your tail off on Tuesday. But we have no assurances. I told them that we've got a chance to play again. I told them we also have a chance to play Duke again. So old coach is not going to freaking quit, and they're not either.
All right, let's get to one of the issues about Roy Williams' quote and comment that was brought to my attention early yesterday morning. He put the stat sheet in the left pocket.
It's the first thing I noticed.
So did Twitter. So
it went into the expense department.
It went into the expense pocket. Now, remember, I said last week when we were talking about this, when they lost at Florida State, by the way, I didn't think the stat sheet was folded quite as crisply.
No, but, hey, that game, that's when – he'll take that one to the grave. That was a hard loss.
So here's – I don't know for sure. Remember, I said – the story referred to one pocket was expenses and one pocket was a stat sheet. Now, whether coach adheres to that or not, I don't know. I know that some assistants did, but that was reminded me when I saw it last week against Florida State of what Coach Smith used to do. So anyway.
The first time I saw that
thought
clip,
he put it in the expense pocket.
It's the first thing I thought of. I said, wait, that's one issue on Monday is that the stat sheet, number one, like you said, wasn't perfectly folded for the first time this year, and it went in the expense department.
By the way, we have to, at some point, we're going to ask him about that.
Yeah.
Make sure that, because he knows, I'm sure he knows the story. Whether he does it or not, I don't know. But I thought of that the other night at Florida State. And then I had five or six people say, wait, Roy put the stat sheet in the wrong pocket.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
So.
What a gut check, though. I mean, you know, they got to play tomorrow night at Wake Forest. The Deacs will be emotionally excited to see North Carolina, as they always are in Winston-Salem. They're coming off a tough loss at Syracuse, which they lost in the last second. And you're going to find out a lot about the character of North Carolina basketball in that game tomorrow.
I think you're right. Here's the other thing, too. The challenges for both these teams are uniquely different now. Tonight, I mean, I know Duke is excited and all this. And I think the real challenge for Mike Krzyzewski, I'd be curious to know after the game tonight what they did yesterday. I'd be very curious to know what Duke did yesterday and what will they do today in relationship to getting ready for tonight against Florida State.
I'll tell you what I'm curious to watch tonight. Not only is it a great game with Florida State playing lights out and Duke coming off this an unbelievably emotional win on Saturday. But, Wes, you know, Duke really struggled and got off to a terrible start at BC.
Yeah.
They're down 12-2, and BC played lights out and really kind of pushed them to the limit. I thought that was the best thing that could happen to Duke getting ready for North Carolina. Well, guess what happened? North Carolina jumped Duke from the get-go.
Yeah.
So Duke's really giving you back-to-back, really slow starts.
Mm-hmm.
It is a quick 48-hour turnaround from a really unbelievably emotional game, whether they had won or lost. I mean, emotionally, they've just got to be spent. So I suspect they probably didn't do a whole lot yesterday, But here comes Florida State that's going to throw waves on you, right? And you
and
know,
13-3 Saturday.
You got it. And so I'm really curious to see Duke start tonight.
Yep.
After slow BC, slow North Carolina, quick turnaround, got to be emotionally a little flat. I mean, if you are, there's nobody could deny it, right? I mean, but, you know, does Duke come out with the energy? The crowd's going to be great. Game's going to be tremendous. But if you're Leonard Hamilton, you wonder, hey, you know what? Maybe we can put the throttle on these guys early and just kind of put them on their heels. That's something worth keeping an eye on tonight.
All right, we got plenty to go. Seth Greenberg's going to join us bottom of the hour. Jay Billison, the 8 o'clock hour. Elijah Hughes of Syracuse, one of the best players in the ACC, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Plus your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACCN, and a whole lot more. It was a busy and interesting weekend on the ladies' side of women's basketball as well. And, you know, we got a thing or two on the side. Plus, we got best and worst of the weekend. Yeah, we got accounting and we got all the other stuff. Packer and Durham, getting your Monday started. ACC Network, Sirius XM, 371, and always on the ESPN app. Thanks for joining us this morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. And everybody's still buzzing about Duke, North Carolina, but Wes, that wasn't the only unbelievable game from the weekend. Virginia and Louisville
right.
put on quite a show where the Hoos actually scored 70, and they, much like North Carolina, were in position to close and couldn't get it done.
Well, they got Thomas Walden Tensai went crazy, right? Seven threes. He was terrific, and the Cavaliers played great. And you're starting to see now why we were talking about Virginia last week is – a team building momentum with a chance to be that four seed and get the double bye. If the four is going to be up for grabs, it's going to be determined part and parcel by what these guys in the Navy Blue do, Pack. Look, Kihei Clark scores it. Walden Tensai scores it. And yet Louisville still finds a way to win the game. And this is why you got to respect what Chris Mack's done. I mean, you know, you take their best shot and you get guys who haven't scored. I'm not sure Kihei Clark scored 20-some points in a month, right?
Well, the depth again. The best three teams in this league have a humongous advantage in depth, and it shows every time in games like this,
yep.
where it's more than just a guy who can beat you. I thought Virginia's second-half effort in this game was fantastic. They scored. The game plan was great. Their defense is always consistently good. And I know Louisville put an 8-0 spot on there. You don't see the Hoos give up that many points a lot. But it was a back-and-forth affair. And for Louisville, you know what? They slayed a demon here. Virginia has really had their number and beaten them nine consecutive times. They finally snapped that streak, and they had to do it coming from behind at home.
Yep.
But again, Virginia had it right where they wanted. Much like North Carolina on Saturday night had Duke right where they wanted them, you just got to close the deal. Now, this is a big shot, of course, when you start talking about the NCAA tournament. This could have put in, I think, automatically – puts Virginia in the hunt. I still think they're in good shape. I think they're an NCAA tournament team, but man, they were so close on Saturday. Great win, though, for Louisville.
Yeah, it is a great win. You're talking about exercising the demon of Virginia, and Louisville certainly did that. Here's the other thing you see when you start thinking about the Cardinals and snapping that 10-game skid to 9 losses in a row, winning for the first time in 10. Louisville's now won 10 straight.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about Jordan Wara, okay? Jordan Wara is not as pronounced maybe as some who would think, you know, preseason ACC player of the year, All-America, things like that. But then you just start looking at all the things he does during the game. And, I mean, you know, he had 22 the other day, 7 of 14 from the floor. He's now had 13 games of 20 or more. 13. I mean, that's the kind of production right there where you start, you know, and I had John Mooney last night who posted his – 40th career double-double last night and his 10th against the league. I mean, Pac, you think about it. Notre Dame has played 12 league games. He's got 10 double-doubles against the league. Jordan Wara and John Mooney are guys who are maximizing production. And you start looking at his 20-point numbers and you're thinking, whoa, wait a second now. He's just not doing it in a way that I think at times, because we talk about maybe some of those inconsistencies, he is providing balance every night for them. And their depth, and you saw it Saturday. I think Florida State and Louisville and to a degree Duke But Florida State and Louisville especially are using depth as a real weapon this year.
And Louisville continues to kind of stay just a game and a half ahead of everybody else. And every time they get one of these close chances to get knocked off, they have found ways to win. That's what good teams do, good coaches, everything else. Louisville's in a good spot at 12-1, needless to say. Now tonight you got Duke, Florida State. Somebody else going to fall a half game further behind Louisville in the big picture. So the Cards right now, with about 4 weeks to go in the regular season, in a really good spot. But this was a tremendous basketball game. And I think Virginia takes some solace out of the fact that, number one, they can score.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't think they'd see 70 all year the way they've been going.
Yeah.
But
it took Kihei Clark going crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, and if they get some outside scoring production, they got it. Braxton Key was able to give it to him against Clemson. And TJ did his thing, coming off screens left and right, making everything he looks at. So I think if you're a Virginia fan, certainly disappointed he couldn't close the deal, but certainly encouraged that, hey, offensively, saw a spark. And again, the defense is still going to be there all year.
By the way, basketball alum Kyle Guy took the blame on Twitter. Come on. Come on, Kyle.
He's a fan.
Got to go where you go and do what you do, Kyle.
That's it.
You know, can't start messing with that television mojo.
No.
Right?
No.
Can't start messing with the television mojo. You got to go where you go and do what you do. You got to be able to stay there. I know you're excited to be playing for the Kings. I'd like to take partial blame for the loss. I was watching all first half, part of the second, left to go to my game. We started killing, turned it back on. We were up. You know the rest. It's okay, Kyle.
What he needs to take responsibility for is when you and me go feet on floor, the Kings cannot beat the Hornets. That we know for to be a fact.
He wasn't up on the roster by then.
I know, but still. Yeah. Thought I'd tie it all together.
RIP for the Hornets, by the way.
Oh, yeah, so bad. So bad at the top, so bad on the floor.
All right, next. Josh Macri, everybody. The Fighting Macris get a two-point win at home against Wake Forest. Syracuse does some real damage in this game. I mean, the Orange had a 16-point second-half lead. Pack.
No problem. They won by two.
Holy smokes.
Won by two. And they weren't even the big story out of Syracuse this weekend. It was the ladies yesterday.
Yeah, Coach Hillsman. That's right. We'll get to that in our review of the women's card. Yeah, they beat Louisville. But Buddy Boeheim went for 23. There's our man Elijah Hughes. He'll join us at 9:30. Joe Girard, unbelievable.
This was a game the Cuse had to win. Wasn't going to enhance any NCAA tournament bid, but it was the kind of game that could kill you if you didn't take care of business at home.
Right.
And they did. And for Wake Forest, great comeback. You know, they'll see what they do tomorrow night when they host a gut-wrenching North Carolina team come rolling into Winston-Salem.
And if you had Bryson Goodine and Wendell Moore as game winners in ACC basketball this weekend, you're not watching this show. You know why? Because you're cashing those tickets and moving to your private island.
But with all the guys filing out, though, for Cuse coming down the stretch, you know, Jim Boeheim, you take the win and you move on.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Right about that. We'll get to the rest of the – Florida State did beat Miami. 13 of 26 from three were the Noles. I mean, Florida State was –
balling, man.
Yeah, they were. Second half. First half was kind of weird, wasn't it? Just kind of Miami starts out. They lead by eight early. Florida State, sleepy noon start. Looks like one of those deals where the Noles are just getting to the building with about 6 minutes to go in the first half. They chop it down a little bit going to the break. And then second half, it looks like they're in the driveway. Holy cow.
They were. They put a 9-9 spot on the scoreboard in Leonard Hamilton's program. We keep talking about not this team, this program. Five straight years of 20 or more wins. Leonard Hamilton getting it done in Tallahassee. Yeah.
19 straight home win for the Noles. They win by 18 over the Canes and sweep the season series. When we come back on this show, friends, this is special now, Pac. We don't get this very often, do we? Special Monday visit.
Yeah, we just had him on the other day.
I know. I think I don't know if we'll get him later in the week, though, because if we get him on Monday, that'd be a little much to ask for a double down on a later visit, wouldn't it?
Well, people are still buzzing about what happened in Chapel
Hill.
That's right. Game day was there.
Yeah.
Baldwin on campus.
Yeah.
They were in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Seth once more.
So we'll get Greenberg up here. Coach Greenberg will join us front and center, bottom of the hour. We will talk about Carolina Duke, Louisville, and tonight, Florida State and the Blue Devils at 7 o'clock on ESPN from Cameron. Seth Greenberg, joins us on a Monday morning of Packer and Durham next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. By the way, Chester had a miserable weekend. He had a ruptured cyst.
Oh, God. Pack, yeah, so stop.
We had that going on. Mrs. P with the gallstones.
Stop.
The flu. Gigi broke her toe.
Stop.
Quite a weekend.
You got everybody sick.
Got everybody sick. Quite a weekend in the Packer
household. Wouldn't believe the number of people. Seth Greenberg going to join us here in just a second. Number of people at Clemson that go, can't believe you let Packer get you sick. I said, what am I supposed to do, sir? What am I supposed to do? Well, that's a good point. So they knew you were a carrier.
Oh, I told you I was.
Yeah.
So why are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. That's why I said, what was I supposed to do, sir? And the guy goes, well, that's a good point.
All right, let's go to the sand wedge game indoors.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Seth Greenberg joins us.
Winter workouts are underway at the Greenberg house this morning.
Hey, Seth.
Good morning, gentlemen. How is life?
We're good. By the way, I'm just curious, before we get to any detail, how do you guys select the people to shoot from midcourt on game day?
There's a competition, actually, and you have to make a shot to get an opportunity to make the shot at game day. So, like, that gentleman that made the shot, I think he's a biochemical engineer,
yeah,
an engineering major. He calculated a way to make a shot better than everyone else, so he had a chance. He actually had a chance to make a shot. I mean, he had great leg strength. He drove that thing up to the rim. We were rooting really hard. I know you were rooting against the Packers.
It spun out on the back end one time, right? He rimmed out from the back on like the fourth or fifth.
Yeah. He had a shot. It was kind of apropos for the weekend.
Yeah. You know, apparently the only guys that can make shots are in Charlottesville, because every time you guys go to Charlottesville, some dude's training one from 48 feet.
Yeah. By the way, I want to tell you a story that I got yesterday at Clemson, and a guy said, y'all talk about Duke and Carolina a whole lot leading up to those games. And I went, yeah, we do. And I go, and now you know why. I mean,
exactly.
The thing delivers, and it consistently delivers. Now, I mean, the hype is real for this thing, and they showed it again Saturday night.
Yeah, it's just a hype. It is what it is. I mean, this game will always deliver. And we talked last week, look, throw away the records, and it sounds cliche-ish, and I understand that, but look, there's so much pride. There's so the intensity of the game, the tradition of the game, the history of the game. Every single guy that's on that court's playing for who played before them. And that's real. And, you know, the players that are playing it, this is why they went to Duke and Carolina, to be part of that great tradition, part of that great history. And, you know, to me, the game started, and everything that happened in that game really didn't surprise anyone. You know, obviously the craziness of the very end of it, Carolina getting out in transition. We haven't seen Carolina run like that all year. I mean, the start of the game, I said to you guys, really important. Carolina's got to play ahead of the defense, but they had it all season. All of a sudden, you see Baycott running the floor, attacking. You see advanced passes. You see Garrison Brooks short roll, knocking down jumpers. You see quicker ball movement, and then you see an intensity defensively. And then the same thing on the other side. You're playing through Vernon Carey, and Carey just getting to the middle of the floor and finishing. The game was incredible, and Trey Jones, a guy who's been in the game before, making the plays he did at the end, understanding the rivalry because of his brother, making the plays at the end. It was incredible. The only thing that wasn't incredible was the uniforms. Enough of wearing practice jerseys for a game like this.
Preach, preach, preach. By the way,
I mean, that's what got practice jerseys.
Yeah. By the way, Seth, you know, we were kidding around about this 20 minutes ago. You know, Duke got up to a really slow start at Boston College and eventually found a way to win late. Duke got off to a really slow start against North Carolina. Now they get that 48-hour turnaround. You got the emotion of of winning the game. It didn't really matter if you won or lost. You want to win them. But you got 48 hours now to get ready for Florida State. Are you concerned about Duke tonight out of the gate at home against Florida State?
A little bit, but, you know, K's so good at creating causes, and this is a cause. I mean, you're basically playing to stay alive for an ACC championship and everything else, a number one seed potentially. And look, the players on Duke, they understand how good Florida State is. They understand the depth of Florida State. They understand that, like, you know, Patrick Williams can come off the bench and score 14 points in 20 minutes. They understand that Trent Forrest is an elite defender. They understand that C.J. Walker can make plays. I mean, MJ Walker that can make plays. I mean, they understand how good Florida State is. Just in a lot of ways, Duke-Florida State is a rivalry. The one team that outside of North Carolina that's played Duke better than anyone else has been Florida State. So I think it's easy to create a cause for Coach K. But once you get on the court, the depth, the athleticism, the length, it's for real. Florida State is for real. Now, Florida State's got to rebound the ball to the defensive end, and they've got to take care of the basketball. They've got to pressure the ball so that they can't just punch that thing inside to Vernon Carey. And when Carey gets it, they got to double him. But on the other hand, Duke's got to deal with, all right, who do we give and who do we take away? Because Florida State's got so many dudes that can score it.
All right, Coach, here's the thing about tonight, and I was thinking about this driving back from Clemson. You mentioned Patrick Williams. To me tonight, Malik Osborne is a problem for Duke. He's a hard cover for Duke. Yeah. He reminds me, he's a bigger version of Michael Snare. Duke doesn't have any problems with the Olenichuks or the Koprivitsas or the Kamajis or the big, long guy in the middle. That never seems to faze Duke. It's the 6'6 to 6'8 guy who's around the rim all the time who can go from the three-point line to the basket. That's the guy that when Florida State beats Duke seems to give them the most trouble.
Yeah, Osborne is a tough matchup because they'll put him in pick and pops and bring Vernon away from the basket. Look, I think a big thing for this game, and anytime you play Duke right now, you've got to make Vernon Carey defend. Mm-hmm. You've got to put him in ball screens. You've got to put him in post-ups. You've got to short roll him and then attack him. You've got to make him defend. You've got to come to a jump stop, pump fake, and crack him. Because you take Vernon Carey out. I know they won without Vernon Carey the other day. But you take Vernon Carey out, and that is a whole lot of pressure on Trey Jones and the rest of that crew.
All right. Virginia finally finds 70. That was another great game. I know it's got overshadowed with Duke North Carolina coming up with another classic. But this was a great game. And Virginia, much like North Carolina, had it right where they wanted to close the deal and just couldn't figure out a way. I was impressed with Virginia offensively, and I was impressed with, again, Louisville and their depth figuring out a way to, guess what, next man up, let's go figure out a way to win another big game. Two really good clubs.
Yeah, think about the first half. The first half, Louisville was ridiculous. They made Virginia's defense look like just a normal defense. I mean, they dropped 44 on them. That's a game's worth of points against Virginia. Second half, Virginia stepped in and defended, but Walter Tensei, I mean, 7-for-10 from the 3-point line. Is he going to do that every night? I don't think so. But man, he was good. In the end, Louisville's just better. They've got more weapons. They've got more guys that can make plays. I think David Johnson, his feel for the game's been terrific, but the 3-point guards, they can get something out of each and every one of them. Up front, Malik Williams gives them a front court guy that can defend and score around the basket. Louisville's just so deep. Patrick Williams, Samuel Williamson's development's been incredible. Louisville, to me, has got to be in the conversation for the most talented teams in the country, and they're getting better. But that was a game Virginia could win. I like what they're doing. They're opening up the court more when they're running those ball screens. They have Diakite out of the floor so that now all of a sudden when Kihei Clark turns the corner, there's not as much traffic, and now he can use his quickness to finish. And that was a change they did in their ball screen action that I think is really good. They end up more four out and short roll or pop, and now all of a sudden the middle of the floor is open. I mean, Kihei Clark's doing a much better job of finishing.
All right, let's go to the in-bracket reveal deal, this front 16 deal that they've done the last couple of years, influenced clearly by the College Football Playoff Committee, but that's neither here nor there at this point. Were you surprised at anything? The four number ones did not surprise me. Now, I think Kansas, Baylor both still have a chance for the one. The San Diego State Gonzaga thing, Seth, to me, is one of those deals. One of those teams, San Diego State, I think, is the one that's most likely to get shipped east if it holds form, as we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at anything. We had Penn State as our 16th team. I mean, they had Oregon, and I think Oregon lost this past weekend, but no, I mean, look, it's early in the year. I think they did a pretty good job. And here's the thing. You can reveal that, and there are other teams that are going to have a chance to play their way into there also, which is going to be interesting. But I got to get this through. This is my new thing. College basketball never disappoints. It never disappoints. Each and every game, each and every weekend, we see great endings. We saw Duke. We saw Louisville, Virginia. We see Duke, Carolina. You saw Michigan. Michigan State. Michigan was a great ending. Yale, Harvard was a great ending. Yeah. I mean, every single night we see great endings. We see competitive games. We've got to start to celebrate our game.
I was a bit surprised West Virginia was a two.
I was. Yeah. Well, you know, West Virginia was a two. They have a couple of road wins. They're not going to be two at the end of this weekend.
No, no. But, I mean, and again, this is a fluid situation, so there's no reason to go too crazy with it. Yeah. I thought for the most part the committee was in the neighborhood, but I just didn't expect to see West Virginia as a two. Yeah.
They kept pretty true to the net is what they did. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I mean, think about it. It just makes it easy. Just figure out which way you want the S curve to roll and put the first 16 in there. So,
by the way, San Diego State's for real.
Oh yeah, they're good now. They're better. Really they're a lot better. Sean Farnham said something to me a week ago, and I saw some clips the other day. They're a lot better at both ends of the floor than people think. Brian Dutcher should get a lot of credit for the job he's done out there. No question.
Seth, the rest of the ACC. From the Virginia
glob?
On. No, the glob.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, you mentioned last week, you thought, hey, they're starting to shoot the basketball. Wes had the game last night. They went on the road at Clemson. They've now won four straight. They'll look back at those five ACC losses by 5 points or less early, but there's going to be a lot of people looking backwards going, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But Notre Dame seems to be coming at the right time.
Notre Dame has a huge game, obviously, today. And look, Notre Dame, and especially in this game, look, they're going to rebound the ball because John Mooney, like a missed shot is a pass off the backboard. When Rex Pfluger's making shots and making plays, they get a little bit better. They've got experience, which I think is really, really important. They're developing a toughness. They're defending more consistently. Look, Mike Bray, the hardest thing to do, and you guys notice, you guys have been around it forever. The hardest thing to do is when your team goes a little bit south, keeping your team moving forward. Not losing momentum, keeping their attention, keeping their energy, keeping their locker room strong and trust with each other. And what Mike's been able to do because of the way he is, and you guys know him, it's like, woohoo! I mean, he just keeps on doing his thing. This team is dangerous. I said it last week. This game, Syracuse and Notre Dame, is a huge game.
Yeah, well, and you got at Virginia, at Duke for Notre Dame this week. I mean, holy smokes. This could be – it could be a telltale week for Bray and the Irish for sure. Thank you for the Monday visit. By the way, Seth Greenberg brought to you in part today, I think, Pac, by apparently the Greenbrier. I saw it over his left shoulder on the not many guys, by the way, have a good enough golf game that they put their clubs in their office in the winter. Some just keep them in a garage, but real players keep their clubs in the office.
Yep.
Got to keep them warm and toasty, you know what I mean? So I can deal with Brooksy because Brooksy's got a big-time game.
Yeah, we're getting ready
to temper, but a big-time game.
Let me just tell you this. We're going to find out this spring and summer exactly who's got what. That's what we're going to find out, okay?
Yeah, when Pac gets a stake.
No. Pac is going to get his stake, but he's not playing golf.
By the way, let's just hold on a second before we let Seth go.
Yeah.
Are we predicting the payoff of the stake in Greensboro? Is that?
No, it's spring break in Bristol. We're on spring break shows in Bristol.
I don't know the lay of the land of Bristol.
I got a question. Who's involved? Who's invited to this steakhouse?
Well, no.
Everyone's
remember,
invited to this steak.
Wait just a second. I have clarified to you and made this perfectly clear on more than one occasion. You are buying him a steak, okay? A lot of us are going to show up. We're not going to ask you to come off the hip to cover us. We're just going to be there as witnesses to watch you actually pay for the food. That's it. A lot of us are going to be there as witnesses, and we might have a camera, and we might actually put it on, you know, like that digital content stuff that, you know, we like to do.
He's silent
here
for the first time in his life, by the way.
No, he's not.
I just want to hear an answer.
I've been
salivating for nearly 365 days. I'm just ready to eat.
I figured it's taking you a year to pay off for this. The least you could get's a small crowd of interested bystanders, right?
At this rate, you know what? I'm willing to give you a chance to get your money back or your steak back, but Kermit Davis isn't going to make the tournament.
Thank you, Seth. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure.
Yes, it is. It's always a barrel of laughs. Thank you, sir. Seth Greenberg. Jay Billis joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, man. You two. What am I going to do? How about him? How many people am I paying for? No, you're only paying for Packer. How many times have I said that?
You know, I just want a steak. At this rate, I just don't know if Greenberg's ever going to pay up.
He's going to pay. Oh, he's going to pay. We're all going to watch him pay. The list is long and distinguished of people that want to come watch him pay.
We're going to have our own private room just to pay off
his
bet.
Oh, yeah, we are
going to.
And you know what? If, you know, since we're doing the spring break trip, we might as well just get somebody up there who has the acumen of food.
But here's my issue, though, and no disrespect to the metropolitan Bristol
Hartford area. Yeah.
Is there a great steakhouse in Bristol?
I'm sure that the Lumberjacks can tell us. That's why they're the Lumberjacks.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I know there's a Del Frisco's right down the street.
There is one right down the street. Luganville. Luganville is the owner-operator of that one.
That I do know.
Stay tuned. Come back, Packer and Durham, on a Monday. Jay Billis will join us at 8:30. Elijah Hughes in the 9 o'clock hour. Quentin Hillsman and the Orange deliver yesterday and the woes of the Ville.
What's up with that?
They play the national team and all of a sudden cannot find their spot in the road. Loss at Florida State and a loss at the Dome. We'll come back and cover it on Packer and Durham.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Hope everybody's doing okay. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. I know we've talked about the men a bunch, but there was a major, major upset yesterday as we get ready for Louisville and NC State this week. Mm-hmm. The Cards are having a hard time getting to the finish line. They lose at Syracuse yesterday. Q gets a big win. And all of a sudden, back-to-back losses for Louisville after running the table early.
Yeah, I watched a good bit of this with Roy Philpott and Brooke Weisbrod yesterday from the Dome. And I tell you, Kiara Lewis was fantastic. She had 24 points to lead Coach Hillsman's team. And it seemingly, Syracuse got out in front. And I guess probably the disappointing part for the Cards, Pack, is that Louisville never was able to kind of dent it.
Yeah, it was no run.
Yeah. And usually with Jeff Wall's team, you expect it to get end-to-end, and all of a sudden, you know, they'd be able to, you know, build a run of some sort, and there wasn't one yesterday.
And I know people are going to probably make a big deal. You know, they played the national team a week ago, and maybe you get out of your rhythm because that becomes an exhibition game as opposed to, hey, we're going to battle in a game and so forth. And again, it's easy to play that game when you go LL after the fact, but this is still an incredibly talented team. Right. NC State coming up this week. It's a huge game. For Coach Hillsman, win number 300 on the career, so congratulations on that front. But that was a major shocker through the league yesterday.
Yeah, they had 22 turnovers as well, so a hard day at the office for Louisville. You mentioned the NC State game. That's a huge, huge ball game this week. By the way, Syracuse picks up a third win against a ranked team this year, so certainly trying to build the resume there. Florida State, after beating Louisville earlier in the week, doubled down yesterday, a ball game you saw here on ACC Network yesterday at noon. Florida State beats Virginia in Tallahassee yesterday. Kai Gillespie, friend of the show, 22 points, 8 rebounds, leads Sue Semeraus' team, who's certainly going to stay in the top 20 and may move up a couple notches after a pair of wins this week.
Well, you got NC State now at 11-1 at the top of the league. Louisville's a game back. Florida State's 9-4. And like I mentioned, Thursday is the big showdown game.
Yep.
Louisville on the road at NC State. And that'll be here on ACC Network. And we'll talk more about that as the week goes on.
So we mentioned those two. Here's the rest of the scoreboard from the weekend in women's basketball. Boston College had a 20-point lead held on to beat Clemson yesterday, 70-68. Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech get a win, 62-52. Duke wins by 19 at Miami. Virginia Tech a 9-point winner over Carolina. And Notre Dame beat Pittsburgh by 22 in a game you saw here on ACC Network last night.
Yep. Two-team race in the regular season. Now NC State, as I mentioned, with a one-game lead. They host Louisville Thursday. That is really what you need to know coming up this week with the Lions.
Quick check, lacrosse, by the way, the ACC undefeated over the weekend. Syracuse, touchdown better than Colgate. They won 21-14. Chase Scanlon had 7 goals then on Saturday. Carolina, Duke, and Virginia were all winners. The Cavaliers beat Loyola 12-9 here on ACC Network.
I know we'll go through the best of and the worst of the weekend later in the show, but I will just give you a little sneak preview. One of my best of the weekends was the environment at NC State
Friday night
for wrestling. NC State, North Carolina got after it, and man, the video that I saw, it was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. 19-14. NC State beat Carolina, came down to the final match. And of course, Pittsburgh won Friday night duels here on ACC Network. They beat Virginia 23-10 at Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. By the way, I noticed in watching Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison the other night, they're in the round, so to speak, at Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. They got the theater lighting and so forth.
Yeah.
Pretty wild now. Look at that. I mean, come on now. Friday night duels in the spotlight.
Like center stage, man.
Yeah.
I told you, I think this whole Friday night thing, it makes a ton of sense with the wrestling. And this league, we keep harping on, there are four really, really talented teams nationally.
Yep.
But that NC State, North Carolina thing now, it doesn't matter if it's checkers, football, whatever. They get after each other when they see each other, and it was spectacular.
Yeah, NC State will be the host of Friday Night Duels this week. Number 7, Virginia Tech, and number 3, NC State, will be the Friday Night Duels here on ACC Network. We're excited to do that. We'll talk about it as the week rolls on. So a lot of good stuff here.
And we had softball, too, by the way.
How about John Ripman's team?
Won their first game.
Yep. Sure did.
And what about, you know, again, everybody talking about the curse. You don't go on that show, you'd be cursed. You know, everybody comes on this show one this weekend. How about Florida State? Took on number 1 Alabama. Beat them once, beat them twice.
Sure, why not?
You can put a 22 spot on one other game. Florida State off to a roaring start. You mentioned Clemson winning their first ever softball game.
There you go.
Crazy. Yep.
Good stuff. Congratulations to John Ripman. Folks down there excited about that. We'll get to your calls in the 8 o'clock hour, best and worst of the weekend, along with Jay Billis. Quick reminder to you about Friday Night Duels, and it happens this Friday night here on ACC Network with Virginia Tech, number 7 at Raleigh, Valvano Arena, Reynolds Coliseum, Pack's Right. They had an unbelievable atmosphere the other night for the Pack in the Heels, and we'll show it to you this Friday night, 7 o'clock. Hokies and Pack, 7-3 in college wrestling right here on ACC Network and always live on the ESPN app. So that gets us an hour in the books on a Monday. Hour 2, best and worst of the weekend. We get you a lot of hoop. We get you some softball. Look at there. Look at there. And some wrestling. Stick around. We're here till 10 o'clock.